This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Welcome to Just a Voice, the radio ministry of Global Restoration Ministry. Hi, I'm Pastor Philip Upton. Here at Global Restoration Ministry, our desire is to prepare the body of Christ for the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ by restoring foundational truths and earnestly contending for the faith once delivered unto the saints. Join us as we go into a word from the Word. Come on, let's go. Many people have been afraid to really to approach or to embrace or to receive the Holy Spirit because they don't have a relationship with Him. They see it as an it, a ghost. But He is the most protected member of the Trinity that there is. And He's been given an awesome responsibility as for watching over our souls and keeping us and to leading us and to guiding us into all truth. But He won't push you. He won't drive you. He'll go out before you and He'll beckon to you to come. Many of us won't come because we're not sure where we're going. It gets a little spooky when you start talking about the Holy Ghost. Folks don't have an accurate understanding of what the power of the Holy Ghost is and what His responsibility is in you and in the church and what authority He has been delegated by Jesus Christ Himself. And our role in the participating in receiving of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has been presented to you as a gift. Somebody say a gift. You have to receive that gift. You have to receive it into your life. You have to embrace the gift. But understand that first you need to know what the gift is all about. But let's talk about the Holy Spirit and His gift. And what it is that He wants to impart. And what it is that He wants to implant in you. Let me ask a question. How many in here have been baptized or filled with the Holy Spirit? You've had that experience. You can remember the day and the hour. You may not know February 15, 2001, but you remember the episode, the occurrence. You remember when it happened. You might have been at church. You might have been at home. You might have been driving down the freeway. I don't know. The Holy Spirit chooses to invade our lives at his convenience and not ours. But when he came with gifts. He came with power. He came with a keeping force in his life, in our life that will keep us. But the problem that we've had is that the Holy Spirit has been walking around inside of us alone. Lonely, because we have not established a relationship with Him. And so today's message, but it says, have you received the Holy Ghost or since you believed? Or really the title that I put in the bulletin is, have you received since you say you believe? Now, let's talk about the Holy Spirit. Now, when God was putting this message, or giving me this message, He first took me to Habakkuk. I was struggling between Habakkuk and what God told me to do, and I was trying to tie that in. What is it that God said? God said this, I need you to portray the Holy Spirit in a way where people can identify with Him and receive His personages. How many know the Holy Spirit is a person? You have to know that. And as we're going to discuss, see, the Holy Spirit is the one who reveals things to us. So He's not always out front. Let me give you an example. I got a lot of pictures of all of my children, but I'm very seldom in the picture. Why? Because I'm taking the picture. We see everything through the eyes of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit does not promote Himself. He promotes the Father. He promotes the Son. And the Father and the Son protect Him. But everything that we know about God is through the inspiration or the inspired word of God and is revealed to us by His Spirit. So we don't see the Holy Spirit showing up and doing a lot of things. We see the Holy Spirit moving in We see when he was released on the day of Pentecost, but everything we know about the Word of God is coming through the eyes of the Holy Spirit. For the Spirit searches how many things? All things. And yea, the deep things of man. So when I was putting this together, God took me to Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 1. And it says, I will stand upon my watch and set upon the tower. And I will watch to see what he was saying to me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. And the Lord answered me and said, write division. Make it plain upon tables that he may run that readeth. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. But at the end it shall speak and lie not. And though it tarry, wait for it, because surely it shall come and will not tarry. Verse 4 says, behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. And I started going over that. I said, Lord, you mean that his soul which is lifted up in him is not upright within him, but the just shall live by faith. There's many of you who have tried to rationalize the Spirit of God. And you've taken it in your mind and you've made the assumption that you have received the Holy Spirit of God, but you've never had relationship. I ask everybody been filled with the Spirit? Yeah, everybody been filled with the Spirit. Now, everyone who has accepted Jesus Christ has been sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. But there is an actual encounter that you are able to have with the Lord that will empower you. And he will dwell in you. In Luke chapter 11, verse 11, Jesus begins to explain how the willingness of God to impart the Holy Spirit into your life. And he uses this analogy. He said, if a son would ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks fish, will he give him a serpent? Or if he asks of an egg, will he give him a scorpion? He said, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit unto them that asked? Now, how many of y'all have asked to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Some of this is a Selah question. I don't really need y'all here. I want you to think about it. The most precious gift you could ever have is the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit. But he said, I'll give to those that would ask of me. Now, all I can really relate to is my own experience. I pretend not to have apprehend all the dimensions of the Holy Spirit or to be able to explain in full dimensions all of his nature and his character. I can only explain to you that which I have personally encountered. I remember when I was seeking after the Spirit of God, asking God to fill me with the Holy Spirit, because I had heard about it. Before I had ever encountered, I had heard about being filled with the Spirit. I remember one night my brother coming in from church. He went to the same church my wife was raised up in, Bethel Gospel Tabernacle Church in Harvey, Illinois. The pastor there was Harold A. Arrington. He just passed away about a year ago now. I've been in the ministry for about 60 years and just went on to be with the Lord. In his services is where I adopted the ministry of Faith Clinic, for being in his services. But his Faith Clinic wasn't like our Faith Clinic. You go to his Faith Clinic, you had people getting up out of wheelchairs. You had people coming back from the doctor with the x-ray showing that the cancer is gone, that the tumor has been removed. We had witnessed people being raised from the dead because of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God that was there. Now, to desire this, my brother came home and told me how he got hands laid on him and he felt the Spirit of God moving on him. And, you know, we in the bunk bed, I'm at the bottom, he at the top, and he telling me all about this, you know. And, you know, it's at night, you know, it's a little spooky, I want to know about it. But when I got old enough, I wanted to be filled with the Spirit. I expected to have something more than what I currently had. It's not enough for me to obtain knowledge. And we're going to get into that a little bit later on. You'll see that. It's not enough for me just to gather facts about the Lord. It's not enough for me just to get up and say, I accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I expected something to happen. And when didn't nothing happen, I was a little disappointed. I would go and I would pray. I said, God, I didn't believe I was saved for a long time because I didn't feel what everybody was talking about they was feeling. I said, Lord, why can't you save me? I mean, I went through all the right steps. I did everything that everybody else do, but I was expecting something. I would ask the Lord, Lord, fill me with the Holy Spirit. I was working in a foundry. It was a factory. So much noise, you couldn't even hear yourself talk. So I could scream at the top of my voice and nobody else would hear me anyway. But I know God could hear me. And I would pray and I would seek after God. And all of a sudden now, my asking got a little bit more than just an asking. I wanted this thing. I desired it. I prayed for God to give it to me. Some people say, well, you know, it don't take all that. Well, it took all that for me. You know, it may not take that for you. You may just say, Lord, thank you. Give me the Holy Spirit. And you're cool. I mean, that's all right. If that works for you, I'm going to tell you what worked for me. I came up in a ministry to where we believe that you have to tarry at the altar. Y'all remember that old stuff? That's old school for some of y'all. Well, we had to pray and seek God because what it was doing, it was stripping away who we are. Our self-dependency, our self-resilience. And it was surrendering and rending our heart unto God. There was a breaking that went on at that altar. And see, many of us haven't been broken. We're still full of us. But we surrendered our hearts to God. Still nothing happened. Remember one night, I was at home. I had just gone through some tremendous things. I won't tell y'all all about it because it's really, really kind of personal. But I ended up into a place where I had to go back to my mother's house. This was before me and my wife got married. And I remember I had to come home because I had got deathly sick where I was. When I say deathly sick, I was running about 106 degree temperature. I had this, the flu or whatever it was. See, Chicago, you better dress right because you go out there and mess around. You can get, you know. But anyway, things were really bad. I was in a bad place, a bad condition. And I went home and they put me up in the room and I was in the room and I stayed there after the third day, I remember. And I was still seeking God. I had gone through some real devastating stuff in my life. And I was seeking God. But I was in the bed asleep. Next thing I know, now my bed is like from here's the door, the bed is over where Pastor Don is. When I came to myself, I was on this side of the room. And I was giving God praise with all of my might. And the tears were flowing like hot water, like warm water running down my face. And I was praising God with everything that was in me. And the Spirit of the Lord says, I have already blessed you with everything that you're ever going to need. And I need you to give me the praise for it now. It may not manifest, but guess what? Everything I need has already been given to me. And I begin to praise God. And I tell you what, it's been the keeping power in my life. I have seen the dead raised from our word, from praying and rebuking death and seeing people get up off the ground that have fallen out dead twice. The Holy Spirit works through you. He works when you do that. I stepped into a room. I went into a place. It was a drug den in Chicago. I met this woman out on the street. She was crying. And I had to intrude, find out why she was crying. What was going on? She was telling me my mother is laying home at the point of death in her bed. And I said, just like me, I pray too. I'll pray for anything at that time. I mean, you're talking about being on fire. I said, well, let's go pray for her. Didn't know where she lived. Didn't know the woman. Didn't know anything about it. Went to the woman's house. We ended up into a place where most of y'all would not even, you would put your foot on the gas pedal to get by it. You definitely wouldn't slow down. And in order to get it, there were people all outside the door. And when we went into the room, there was at least 25 people who were laying out that had been doing drugs in that house. And we had to step over folks, and the smell was thick. You get a contact high just coming through the room. And we went into the room, and Mama was in the bed with a fever. I prayed over that woman. I asked the Lord to heal her. That mother rose up out of her bed. She got up and she called all of her children and everybody that was in the house that came in that room. We all had prayer that night right there in that room. And when I left out there, everybody in that house was sober. That was the Spirit of God. Because the Spirit of God had came. He empowers you. He anoints you for service. You don't walk around and say, well, I'm a great wonder, man of faith and power. It ain't got nothing to do with it. It's putting yourself in a position where the Lord can operate through you at a set time. And having the courage to do it. That was foolish. I guess that was, you know, sometimes God hides the danger from you so you don't see it anyway. You know, if I had known where I was going, I might have been a little more apprehensive and a little more responsible. But I knew I was going, but I wasn't afraid to go. Chapter 1, verse 4. And we're talking about when the disciples first received the Holy Spirit. He said, being assembled together with them, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise. Somebody say, wait for the promise. Wait for the promise of the Father, which he said that ye have heard. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Now, I want to talk about this because this is the advent of the Holy Spirit coming to earth. Jesus told his disciples that it is expedient for you that I go away. Because if I go not away, the Comforter will not come. But if I go, I will send you another Comforter, which is the Spirit of Truth. So here we see the advent of the Holy Spirit, because when we talk about the word baptism in the Holy Spirit, that is a one-time occurrence that took place on the day of Pentecost. Everybody else after that now is being filled with the Spirit. Now, let's talk about baptism just for a second and show you what I mean when I say this. The children of Israel, when they were in the wilderness, under what baptism were they baptized? Moses. When the children came to John, when John was baptized in the River Jordan, they were baptized under John's administration, John's baptism. Now, when Jesus was here, they were baptizing him in the name of the Lord, but it was placed under the administration of the Holy Spirit. See, the first two baptisms, those baptisms, you were placed under the administration of a natural man. Under John, and under Moses, and under John. But when you are baptized under Jesus, you got to understand that you are baptized into the Trinity. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit operating now in your life. And so now all of us who are baptized are under the administration of the Holy Spirit. We're still baptized in Jesus' name, but the administration to lead us and guide us into all truth is the Holy Spirit's job. So it says, verse 6. For when they were therefore come together, he asked them, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time again restore the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you know the time of the season for which the Father has placed his own power. He said, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea and in Samaria and in the uttermost parts of the earth. Now, we've talked about in time past about what a witness is. A witness is more than someone who just bears testimony. He's also someone who bears evidence. And so now the evidence is going to be manifested because of the anointing of the dunamis, the power, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit that has come upon them that will produce these miracles, signs, and wonders. And then Acts chapter 2, verse 1. It said, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came the sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled, somebody say filled, with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, this first encounter was not them being speaking with unknown tongues. It was speaking with other tongues. So we're going to see what I mean by that as we go down. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, a devout man out of every nation under heaven. And now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together, and they were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. It wasn't an unknown tongue that could not be discerned. It was a universal tongue that God was able to speak through those who were filled with the Holy Spirit. And although they might have thought they might have been speaking English, but when you heard it in Latin. When you heard it in Italian. When you heard it in Greek. When you heard it in your native tongue. And this is what brought the amazement upon each and every one of them. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, "Behold, are not all these which speak Galilean? And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherever we were born? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, the dwellers of Mesopotamia in Judah, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and in parts of Libya and about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongue the wonderful works of God." And they were all amazed, but were in doubt, saying one to another, "What meaneth this? What meaneth this new thing? What has happened? What is going on here? This is something unusual. This is a miracle. How is it that we are all able to hear the wonderful works of God in our own tongue? Each of them are speaking, and I could be standing right next to you. You're from Galilee. You're from Italy. I'm from another nation. I might be from Greek, and we're standing right next to each other saying amen, because we both hear in our own language the word of God that's being spoken. So that happened on the day of Pentecost, to get the message published abroad. Others mocking say, "These men are full of wine." But Peter, standing up with the 11, and lifted up his voice and said unto them, "Ye men of Judah and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken as ye suppose, since it's but the third hour of the day. But this is that." Somebody say, "This is that." We need some more of that. We need some of this or that right now. "This is that which was spoken of the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servant and on my handmaiden will I pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy." Maybe you didn't speak in tongues, but maybe you got the gift of prophecy. Maybe you begin to see visions. Maybe you started dreaming dreams. It's all a byproduct of the self same Spirit of God. So just to say that you have to speak in tongue as a pre-qualifying agent to prove that you got the Holy Spirit is not necessarily, because I know some people who can make up a tongue. But I will know you by your life. I'll know by the change that has taken place in your life. Now, we all should speak in tongues. I want to let you know that before I got up here, I spent time doing the praise service of ministering unto the Lord in tongues so that the Lord could edify me, because I didn't have a clue what I was saying. But the Spirit maketh intercession with groanings that cannot be uttered. Praying in tongues is so valuable to the believer. Speaking in tongues is another question. Because in speaking in tongue, it should be done at two by two, and that with interpretation. If there's no interpretation, then for me to get up here and to preach this message to you in an unknown tongue without an interpreter would not benefit you. But when the Spirit thus speak, he will also bring the translation, or he will also bring the interpretation of the tongue, so that the church may be edified by what is said. Praying in tongue is something that you ought to do every day. You need to get in your secret place. You need to be driving in your car. You need to shut the radio down and just start speaking in tongue. Start praying in tongue. Let God edify you. He's downloading stuff into your spirit, because the Spirit makes intercession for you with groanings that cannot be uttered. Paul said, "Listen, I'm glad that I speak in tongue more than all y'all." He said, "But I would rather speak one word in understanding, that you may get a revelation of what I'm saying, than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue." All right, we'll leave that off right now. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sin, and you shall receive the gift. Somebody say the gift. The gift of the Holy Ghost. Why? For this promise is unto you and your children and to all that be afar off and to as many as the Lord God shall call. How many does the Lord want to receive the Holy Spirit? Everybody has received Jesus are to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. But that's one box we don't like to open. They don't want to get too deep. You know, I ain't trying to deal with no demons, Pastor. You know, I don't know about this ghost thing y'all talking about. You know, and so we shun the most precious gift that God has ever given us. Some of us come up in ministries that don't believe in the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. That doesn't mean that you're not saved. I want you to know that. It just means that you have not utilized all that God has made available for you because you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And we'll get to that in a minute because it is the earnest of your inheritance. It is the earnest that God has placed. What is earnest? The down payment. We'll get to that in a minute. But I know ministers who preach like all the world's about to collide together. They bring fire down from the sky and don't believe in the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. There's such a one in the Bible. And we're going to talk about him. Go over to Acts chapter 18, verse 24. Talk about a man, a Jew. His name was Apollos. Apollos was a very elegant man. He could speak very well. And he was converted and believed that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God, and he believed that he died on the cross for his sins and that he rose from the on the grave according to the scriptures, and he preached the message of grace, but he had not received the Holy Ghost yet. All right? And so there was a certain Jew named Apollos, born of Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scripture, and came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, being fervent in the spirit. He spake and he taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. And when Aquila and Priscilla heard, they took him and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. And when he was disposed to come, when he was disposed to pass through Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, whom when he was come, he helped them much, which had believed through grace. For he mightily convinced the Jews that publicly showing by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ. This man had it going on. He was preaching. And they said he was fervent in the spirit. He meant in his own zeal, not the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 19, verse 1. It said, and it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much heard whether there be a Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, unto what then were ye baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism.
Thank you for listening to today's message. Hi, this is Pastor Philip Upton, the Global Restoration Ministry. I want to invite you out to service. We have service over at the Port St. Lucie Community Center every Sunday. That's at 2195 Southeast Oroso Boulevard. Service time is at 10:30 to 12 o'clock. Come on and be a part of our service. If you need to reach me, you can call me at 772-267-1657. Hope to see you there.
Draw.